Welcome to Grace Community Church Wednesday night service again. My name is Wade, if you don't know me. And thank you for tuning in if you're watching. And thank you to you guys that are here. Let me go ahead and open us up in a word of prayer and we'll just get right into it. Father, I just thank you for the message that you gave me this week. I know it was one that I needed in my own life, Lord, and I think there's a lot more people that need it too. I just pray that you bless your word before we get into it. And Lord, I just pray that you prepare our hearts, open our minds to receive your word and apply it to our lives. And we'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week, if you were here last week or tuned in last week, we were talking about having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And how many people believe that they're saved because they go to church or they read the Bible or maybe been in church their whole life or go to classes or serve and do all these things. And then how they get frustrated because there's no change in their lives. And I told you last week that I spent a long time in my life doing that, just going through the motions and doing the things, but never actually surrendering to Jesus, never inviting him into my heart and receiving the Holy Spirit and allowing him to change the things in my life that needed changing. And how we can't get the new life that God has for us by doing things. The only way we get our new life and receive the Holy Spirit is by faith in Jesus Christ and surrendering our lives to him. And we read that last week in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. It's not by works that we're saved. It's by grace that we're saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And verse 9 says, plainly that it's not of works, lest any man should boast. So it's not the things that we do that get us saved. It's our faith in Jesus Christ that get us saved. We can go to church and go to class and, do all the reading and try to check off a to-do list, but that's not how we get saved. We get saved by a relationship and surrendering our lives to Jesus. And we talked about how trying to get to God any other way than through the faith in Jesus Christ, it only leads to us getting frustrated and, being religious, and we get judgmental and angry, and we try to earn our salvation by doing things instead of just receiving the free gift of God that we just read about there through Jesus Christ. And we read last week in John 14:6 how Jesus is the only way to get to God, and that's why we get frustrated if we try to get to God any other way but through Jesus Christ. In John 14:6 it says, "And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by me." So Jesus is the only way to get to God. And if you're trying to get there any other way, you will wind up just frustrated and let down. And that goes right along with what I want to share with you this week. God really hit me hard with this message this week, and I think he's going to hit a lot of us hard with this one, because it's just some real truth that hits home if we're honest with ourselves. I think there's a lot of people that aren't receiving the love through the church. Not just Grace Community Church, but the whole church as a whole that God intended for them to receive. We read in John 3:16 that God loved the world. He loved the world so much that he gave his only son to pay the sin debt for all mankind. And I just don't feel like that people are receiving that love that God intended for them to receive. I don't think it's getting presented to them the way that God would have it to be presented. Originally this week, God gave me a word on the way home. And it was the right word. And originally I was going to preach on compassion tonight. Like I said, that was the word that God put on my heart while I was driving home last week. And I was like, amen, Lord, you know, we need more compassion. In the church, outside the church, we need more compassion everywhere. But God showed me real quick, about the time I got home last week, why we don't see that compassion. First, he showed it to me in myself. And then the more I got to digging into it and studying on it, he showed me why we're not seeing it in the church, you know, as a whole, worldwide. Why we don't see that love that God intended for us to be showing. Why we don't see the devotion from the church that we should be seeing. And when I got home, I looked and, you know, I looked up in my strong concordance the word compassion, and I was just blown away by the definition. It wasn't what I was expecting, and I want to share that with you. And once I read that, then I could see clearly why we don't see more compassion than we do. This definition that I read is talking about God's love and compassion for us. And it was really good. Listen to this. This is really good stuff. The Greek word for compassion is eleos. And eleos means this. It means eleos is the free gift. Compassion is free. You don't have to earn it. It is the free gift for the forgiveness of sins and is related to the misery that sin brings. God's tender sense of our misery displays itself in his efforts to lessen and entirely remove our misery. So, you know, that is a good definition of compassion. It is a free gift for the forgiveness of sins, and it is directly related to the misery that sin brings. And God's tender sense of our misery, you know, he feels our infirmities, the Bible says. His tender sense of our misery displays itself in his efforts to lessen and entirely remove that misery that sin brings upon us. When I read that, you know, John 3:16 looks a whole lot different when you think of it like that. God saw the misery that we were in because of sin, and he had compassion on us. He felt sorry for us, and he wanted to take that sin away so he could remove our misery. And it was a long definition. That was just the beginning of it. And as we go on in that definition, it says, grace removes our guilt, and mercy removes our misery. Compassion is grace and mercy combined. It says compassion is the outward manifestation of pity. And God gave his only begotten son. That is an outward manifestation. God had so much pity on the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know, when we read John 3:16, after looking through that definition, it makes a whole lot more sense. So he, through grace and mercy, he removes our guilt. And through the mercy, he removes our misery. Compassion is grace and mercy combined. So it says, grace is God seeing our need and putting that need upon himself. If we go to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, that's what it says. And this is talking about Jesus. It says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. He saw our need, and he put that on himself. And mercy, in that definition, means the grace is somebody sees your need, and they're willing to take it upon themselves. Mercy means that they can afford to pay for that need, and they take that debt upon themselves and agree to pay that debt. So mercy means he has what it takes to pay a debt that we owe that we can't afford to pay. And he pays that debt for us and lifts it up off of us. And when he does that, he lifts that misery that sin brings off of us. So grace said God sees our need and puts it on himself. Mercy says he takes the effects of that off of us. He pays for our sin and gets us out from under that misery. In Ephesians 2, it talks about how God can pay for that in verses 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us or brought us to life together with Christ. And by grace are you saved. Like we just talked about, we are saved by grace. So God saw our debt and knew we couldn't pay it, but he could. And it says he is rich in mercy. So he paid our debt for us through Jesus Christ on the cross. And the next part of that definition is what God was trying to tell me through that word compassion. And that's what I want to focus on tonight. The next part of the definition says, in the order of the manifestation of God's purpose of salvation, grace must go before mercy. Anytime you see grace and mercy in the Bible, it comes in that order. The only other place you'll see it in a different order is in Galatians chapter 6. You know, they put mercy before grace. But everywhere else you see it in the Bible, when you see mercy and grace, it'll be grace and mercy in that order. Grace comes first. And that's what grabbed me. After it says grace must go before mercy, it says only the forgiven may be blessed. So we can't receive mercy until we receive grace. We have to be forgiven. And the reason we don't see the compassion that we should see and the love and the mercy that we should see is because we're not given the grace or the forgiveness that has to come first. We can't see mercy and grace together, which is compassion, without the grace and the forgiveness coming first. God spoke this loud and clear to my heart when I read it. He said, you are not going to have that compassion or love or mercy towards anything or anybody that offends you. And, you know, I was very convicted by that because that is so true. We're not going to have any mercy or any grace or any compassion towards anybody or anything that offends us. So, you know, we just won't do it. We will not have compassion or mercy or love towards anybody that we're offended by. We have to get rid of the offense and able to have compassion. You know, John 3:16 said God loved the world. It don't say that God was so offended at the world because they were a bunch of sinners that he withheld his grace and mercy from them. No, it says in John 3:16 that he so loved the world that he had pity on them because they were in misery, because they were trapped in sin and had no way out on our own. So he took that on himself because he loves us so much and he forgives us through Jesus Christ. So he can have mercy on us. He shows us grace through Jesus Christ. So he can have mercy on us and remove our sins and get us out of the misery we're all born into. You know, we're all so bad at thinking that sin is something that we do. And there are sins that we do. We do commit sins. I'm not saying we don't. But it's way deeper than that. We're born into sin. We're born with a sin nature. And that's what needs to be taken away. It's not the everyday acts that we do. We sin because we're sinners, because we have a sin nature. And that's what God wants to take away from us. That's why we have to have the grace and the mercy, the compassion of God. So we're born into sin. And the only way we're rescued from that sin nature is by receiving grace and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. You know, we just read in Ephesians 2 and verse 4 that we are dead in sin. Until we receive that grace, until God gives us grace and then pays the debt we can't owe through his mercy. It says he is rich in mercy. When we receive that grace through Jesus Christ, and just like we will not have compassion on anyone we're offended by, you know, we just won't do it. If somebody offends us, we're not going to have grace and compassion towards them. But in the same way that we won't have compassion towards them, people are not going to receive a gospel that is offended at them. So when we present the gospel in them in a way that, you know, they think God is mad at them because they're sinners, they're not going to receive that. I think for way too long the gospel has been presented as something that it's not. It's not condemnation. It is not judgmental. All my life I've heard you need to get it together. You need to quit doing this, or you need to do this. Pointing fingers at sin. And you need to stop doing this wrong. It's not about pointing out people's sins. It's about proclaiming to them that God gave his only son to pay for our sins. You know, I think God, when he set up the salvation plan through Jesus Christ in the gospel, he didn't design the gospel to point us and have us focused in on sin. He wants us focused in on redemption and eternal life with him, the forgiveness and the removal of sin. And he don't want us focusing on people's sins. He wants us to be focused on eternal life with him and freedom from sin. That's the gospel, that Jesus came and died to free us from that. And he knows you can't pay for those, and he knows you feel guilty about it. And we just read a minute ago that grace removes guilt. Jesus takes that from you. He doesn't use guilt and hold that over your head to be used against you. And we just read that mercy removes misery. He came to set you free from guilt and condemnation and sin. Not to just point out how simple we are. That's not the gospel. Romans 8:1 says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that's good, but people can't walk in the Spirit if they never accept Christ. And they will never accept Christ if they think he's offended at them. He's not. And they need to know that. You know, we need to present the gospel in a way that he is a Savior. They need to understand that he came to die for us, to remove the sin from us. He didn't come to punish us for being sinners. He didn't come to condemn us for being sinners. So he is not offended at them, and we can't be either. We've got to start presenting the gospel the way that God intended for it to be presented. I don't know where it got turned around, but it has went from God coming to save us to God has came to condemn us, and that scares people to death, you know. They'll never come to a God that's against them. Like I said, I don't know where it got turned around, and, you know, if I'm honest, I probably do. I think it got turned around by people who get self-righteous once we have been saved and start thinking that we're better than or higher than other people. And God never intended it to be that way. You know, God's word is very clear. In John 3:17, the verse right after John 3:16, Jesus himself said, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God didn't send his son to condemn anybody. He sent him to save us. And we've got to, as a church, start presenting the gospel the way it was intended to be shared. And that is in love. And as a church, I don't mean, you know, like preachers or what happens in this church or in the church down the street. I'm talking about all of us. You know, we are the church. All of us believers in Christ, the way that we live out in our daily lives, the way we look at other people, the way we judge people, and the way we look down on them or withhold doing good to them just because we don't think they deserve it, or just because, you know, we don't share the gospel with them because we don't like them, or if we see somebody that irritates us or gets on our nerves, we'll ignore that person. We'll pass them by and act like we didn't see them because we don't consider them worthy of going through the trouble it's going to take to put up with them and witness to them. You know, God didn't come and die for us to treat people that way. He came not to condemn us, it says, but that through him people might be saved. And if we're going to be followers of Christ, we should be sharing the gospel. If we're going to be witnesses, we should be Christ-like, and we shouldn't shun people either. You know, none of us deserve it. So we shouldn't be judging other people and, you know, being the judge of them whether they deserve it or not. We're not the judges. None of us deserve it. Proverbs says in chapter 3 and verse 27, not to withhold good from them it's due when it's in your hand to do it. It says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do it. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and he has shown his grace to you, it is in your hand to show it to someone else too. You know, we read last week in Psalm 84 in verse 11 that God doesn't withhold anything good from us. It says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield, and the Lord will give grace and glory. That is compassion. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So God doesn't withhold anything good from us, and we have to be willing to do the same for other people. That is the gospel, like we've been reading in John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave. He saves people. He loves people. He frees us from the sin that we can't free ourselves from. And he brings us to life. You know, like it said in Ephesians, we are dead in our sins. But he, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, he brings us to life. And not just life, eternal life. One of my Bible studies last week, I came across that verse because I was thinking about this the whole time I was in that other study. And we came across the verse, the just shall live by faith. And for a long time, you know, I always just thought, yeah, the just shall live by faith. I thought that just meant we'll live by the rules. We'll live our life here by our faith in God, our faith in Jesus. But that's not what it's saying. The just shall live by faith. Our faith in Jesus Christ brings us to life. Not only a new life here, but eternal life. And I love this quote from Robert Morris. He says this a lot in his sermons. He says, you know, we got to quit being surprised by people when they sin. He says this all the time. He says, golfers golf, hunters hunt, and sinners sin. That's what they do. They have a sin nature. Hunters have a nature to go hunting, and golfers have a nature to go golfing. Sinners sin. We shouldn't be surprised by that. You know, if they haven't surrendered to Jesus Christ yet, they're still living in sin. That's what they do. That's what we all did until we came to Christ. So we got to quit judging people for being sinners. That's what they are. That's what we all were. And we have to quit being offended by sin, or we'll never share the gospel while we're offended. We have to do the same thing that God did. It says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, that God commended his love towards us, or he showed us his love, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't ask anything from us. He didn't tell us, you've got to get everything right. You've got to get this done and this done and this done. You've got to get your whole life straightened up, and then I'll accept you. He didn't do that. He did exactly what he said he would do. He gave his only begotten son to die for us, and he paid our sin debt for us. He didn't ask us anything, and we have to do the same. You know, Christ is our example. If he did that for us, we've got to be willing to do that for other people. You know, we don't have to die on the cross, but in Luke 9, Jesus tells us we do have to pick up our cross daily and die to ourselves or deny ourselves daily. He said in Luke 9:23, he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Paul even said in another part, I die daily. You know, you have to. If you're going to follow Jesus, The world is full of sinners. And the only way that we're not going to be offended at them is to die to ourselves daily and realize I am no better than them. I was a sinner too. And without Christ, I still am a sinner. So we have to die or deny ourselves daily the right to judge other people. We have to let go of our pride. We have to, you know, let go of our right to be right, even if we know we're right. You know, we can't push the issue. We can't walk around and be arrogant and believe our pride when it tells us that we're better than others. And we have to get rid of all of our self-righteousness that says that they don't deserve help. You know, we all needed help before we surrendered to Christ. That's why we surrendered to Christ. Every single one of us needs Christ. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 1, he's talking about, you know, Romans chapter 1 is talking about all these sins that mankind commits. And then Romans 2 is talking about when we judge people for sinning or judge people for living a sinful lifestyle, it says we don't have an excuse for doing that. It says, therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are that judges, for wherein you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you that judge do the same things. So he's saying we can't judge people for doing the exact same things that we do. And if we go a little further in the book of Romans in chapter 3, in verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a person on the planet that has the right to judge anybody else or look down on anybody else. In God's eyes, we are equal. He says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we're all in the same boat. We all need to be saved. We all need that compassion that God has for us, the grace and mercy that he shows us that removes our sin from us and gives us the Holy Spirit and removes our sin nature, because we're not able to live a sinless life without it. Nobody has ever saved themselves. We all need Jesus. That's why it says in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 9, it says, who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? Or who can say that I've cleaned myself up? I did this. Nobody. That's the answer to that, is nobody can say they did that. We all need God's grace. And we all need God's mercy. And we've got to be willing to give it to other people. You know, I told you earlier when I got this, when God showed me this, it really convicted me, because God showed me areas in my life where I've been judging other people and withholding good from them. You know, maybe not outwardly. Maybe, you know, if I see somebody that needs help or something, I might still go do it. But what if I'm doing it grudgingly? You know, what if I'm doing it not out of my heart, but just so I could say that I did it? You know, that's not right. That's not compassion. That's going right back to thinking you're saved by works. That's going through the motions. If our hearts ain't pure when we're doing those things, then you're not showing compassion. You're just trying to look good on paper. And that's not what God wants from us. He wants us to have pure hearts and clean hearts. So, you know, I might not have been withholding good from them outwardly, but I've definitely done it inwardly. And I'm sure if you're honest, you do too, or have done it too. You know, I don't think anybody is exempt to this. We're all human. We've all got people in our lives we look at, and we might not say it, but we'll probably think, you know, they could do better if they wanted to, or they could quit that if they wanted to, or, you know, whatever the case might be. Everybody's going through a different circumstance. And the truth is, they probably could do better, and they probably would do better if we would meet them the way God asks us to, with compassion, and give them the encouragement and the motivation and the hope that they need, the hope that there could be a future for them. You know, lifting somebody up goes a long, long way. You know, maybe they would do better if they had somebody to encourage them and and give them some hope. That goes a long way. You know, hope has to be shared. Hope has to be brought to life. You know, like we read a while ago in Ephesians 2 and verse 4, before Christ, we are dead in sin. You know, there is no hope in death. If we're in death, we don't have hope. That's something that is born through love and forgiveness and acceptance and faith in Christ. So that's what we have to share with them. You know, condemnation or pointing out somebody's sin in their life, that don't bring any hope at all. That don't produce love. That don't produce a desire to do better. If all we're going to tell them, you know, is you're never going to do anything, just like lifting somebody up goes a long way, putting them down goes even farther, I think. If all they ever receive is people pointing fingers at them, at their sin, or being told how bad they are and how they ought to be ashamed and they'll never amount to anything, then chances are they never will, because they don't have any hope for doing anything better, because they've never heard anything better. There is no hope in condemnation. There's only hope in Jesus Christ. And there's only hope in life and in the expectation of a better future or something better. There's only hope in the gospel being presented in the way that God intended for it to be presented, and that is in love, you know, through grace and mercy, not in condemnation or pointing out somebody else's sin. You know, Josh said Sunday, we're not supposed to be somebody's doormat, and we're not. And that's not what I'm saying at all. But we are supposed to be willing to humble ourselves and to realize that we're not better than they are. We are supposed to be willing to wash their feet. You know, we're not a doormat, but we should be willing to help people. We should be willing to get down on their level and give them a hand up. We've all needed a hand up. Like I said, we just read in Romans 3:23, we were all sinners. We all came short of the glory of God. So we've got to be willing to get down on their level and give them a hand up. That is the gospel. That's exactly what Jesus did for us. So that's what I want you to think about this week. And I know I'm not the only one hearing this message from God. The church is lacking compassion, not just grace, but as a whole. You know, you don't see much compassion from church. You see a lot of people posting negative things, even about other churches. And, you know, that's not what God intended. That's not the gospel. The gospel is God loved the world so much, he had pity on it. He had compassion on it. So we've got to get to where we are presenting the gospel the way God intended it to be. We are the church. And like I keep saying and said to start with, we will not have compassion on anything that offends us. So take some time this week and find out what offends you. You know, what is keeping you from doing what you know God wants you to do, from witnessing to somebody because of something they've done? Or, you know, it may be a group of people. It may be a place or a thing or something. But if it offends you, it'll stop you from doing what God wants you to do in that area. We went over this verse last week, and this is a very good verse to do this with. And if you'll read this verse and pray to God while you're reading it and use this as a template in Psalm 139, I'm going to read it to you out of the King James and the New Living translations. They're a little different. They say the same thing, but it's a little easier to understand in the NLT. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Offenses are they really are wicked because they stand in the way of what we could be doing for God just because we're offended by something. And it actually says offended in the NLT. That's why I wanted to share it to you in this version too. In the NLT, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. And point out anything in me that offends you. And lead me along the path of everlasting life." You know, when we receive the grace and the mercy and the compassion that God gives us, and He saves us, and then we refuse to do that for somebody else because we think they don't deserve it, and you know, we can't get past our offenses towards them, that offends God. And I don't know about you, I don't want to offend God. So we have to find out what it is in our lives that offends us. You know, who it is or what it is, and why it offends us. We have to ask ourselves those questions so we can get rid of those things, so we can find that forgiveness, or, you know, get rid of the bitterness that we have towards that person or that situation or that group of people or whatever it might be, so that we can do the things that God has called us to do, because we'll never do them if we're offended in that area. So if we'll pray that prayer and read those verses, God will help us see them the way that He saw the whole world in John 3:16. You know, we'll start having compassion on people. We'll not see them as irritable. We won't see them as somebody we want to ignore. We'll see them the way God saw us. This is the way I seen John 3:16 after I read that definition. I wrote down, God saw us as trapped in sin. He saw that we needed grace and we needed mercy. He saw that we needed Jesus. And the only difference in you or me and the worst sinner that you can think of is Jesus Christ and the grace and mercy that He gave us. So let's get rid of our offenses so we can have the compassion that God wants us to have. Let's get rid of our offenses so we can share the gospel and give somebody else everlasting life. You know, God was gracious enough that while we were sinners, we read in Romans 5:8 that He came and died for us. We have to be willing to do that for other people too. You know, it's not their fault that they're sinners. We were born with a sin nature. All of us were. It's not that they're bad people. It's not that they chose to be like that. We were all born sinners. And I don't think the church is sharing the gospel the way that we should, because we want to pick and choose who deserves it. None of us deserve it. And I know that's a lot to sink in, and it's not an easy message to hear, but that's what God laid on my heart this week. And I know it's not a long message. I know it's a short message, but that's all that God gave me. And the Bible says don't add to it and don't take away from it. So I'm not going to. You know, I'm not here to fill up a time slot. I'm just here to share with you what God laid on my heart. And that was it. You know, Josh said Sunday that we don't get up here and preach and, you know, to make ourselves look smart or make ourselves look good. We get up here and preach what God has laid on our hearts because, you know, people need to hear it. If I'm dealing with it in my heart, chances are you are dealing with it in yours too. So I hope this wakes some people up. You know, it really woke me up. You know, I started looking at areas of my life where I could be a better witness. I had people pop in my mind that I could be witnessing to, that I choose to, you know, if I see them, I go the other way on purpose so I don't have to. You know, it says in the story of the Good Samaritan that the Levite and the priest, they saw the wounded man laying beside the road, but they didn't want to deal with him. They judged him. And the Bible says they crossed to the other side of the street and went around him just to keep from giving him the help that we need or that he needed. And if we have offenses in our heart, that's what we do. We'll see people that need Jesus, but we deem them unworthy, and we do the same thing, like we just read in Romans 2. We do just like the Levite and the priest did. We'll cross on the other side of the road instead of doing like the Samaritan did and binding up that guy's wounds and paying his debt. The Bible says he took him to the inn and paid for his room out of his own pocket. And he said, if he owes any more, I'll pay it when I come back. So that's what we've got to be willing to do, get past our own offenses, get past our own pride and our own opinions about things, and start looking at the things the way God sees things. He sees people in sin as people that are trapped, people that are in misery, and he came to free us from that. And, you know, I tell you all the time that God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We are his ambassadors while we're here. And the only way we're going to do that is to get rid of our own offenses so that we can be the men and women that God called us to be. So that's all God gave me this week, and I think that's enough. I think that's a whole lot to sink in and a whole lot to think on this week. So if you want to, you know, examine yourself this week and see what you're offended at and why you're not doing what God has called you to do in it. And ask God to help you with that, and he will. You know, he's helped me overcome so many things I wouldn't know where to start naming them. But I hope you find some truth when you think about that this week, and I pray that you do take it to God and find some freedom from it. There's freedom in getting rid of offenses. There's freedom in being able to do what God has called you to do. And I pray that this will help you do that. But that's all I've got for this week. And I will pray for us, and we will be dismissed. Thank y'all for tuning in online, and thank y'all for being here. Father, I just thank you for this message. And I know it was a hard message to preach, Lord, because it's hard to hear that we're not doing things the way that we're supposed to be doing them. We're not showing the love that we should be showing and having the grace and the mercy that we should be having, Lord. I pray that you would work on our hearts this week. Help us to be honest with ourselves, Lord, and honest with you, and be willing to let you show us the things that do offend you in our lives. And Lord, I pray that you would give us the courage to get rid of those things or change those things so that we can be the witnesses, the ambassadors that you've called us to be. I thank you for the grace and the mercy that you've shown me, Lord. I thank you for the new life you've given me. And Lord, I just pray that you would help me to always be willing to humble myself and be able to do the same for someone else. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.